This is Cliff Moore, and I'm sitting in for Missy Nielsen this month while Missy is on sabbatical. As KPTZ listeners know, Missy does an outstanding job with her program, Everybody Can, as she interviews interesting and dynamic community members about their life and work, and especially about volunteer opportunities their organizations make available for Jefferson County residents. I'm very excited to introduce today's guest, Wendy Bart, Chief Executive Officer of the Olympic Peninsula YMCA. Hello, Wendy, and thank you for taking your time to speak with KPTZ listeners today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Great. We don't have a lot of time, Missy, on our program, so let's get right to our questions. We've got so much to discuss, but let's start with the name YMCA. Does it still mean what we all think it does, or is there more to the story?
I think there's lots more to the story. When the Y started in London, England in 1844, the name was totally appropriate. The Y started as a Bible study for a group of 12 young men. And fast forward to today, though, 176 plus years later, and really we are for all ages. We are for all gender identities, all faiths. And so we really are, in many ways, the association. And I would say that is a good descriptor because it's about community. It's about bringing community together to enable all people to really thrive in the communities in which they live.
That's great. So YMCA, do we call it YMCA or should we just call it the Y?
I think these days, most people just say the Y and they get it.
Well, talk about your first experience with the Y. How long have you been affiliated? Where did you start?
Oh my gosh. I've been involved in the Y since I was 6 years old. So I learned how to swim at my local Y. And really, I can't think of any childhood memory that doesn't have some link to the Y. One of the things that really stands out for me is when I was on swim team, I was an 8 and under, and at my very first swim meet, and my coach looked at Lucy Piper, who was 9, and said, "Lucy, I want you to hold Wendy's hand and take her to the starting block." So my very first swim meet, little Lucy Piper held my hand and took me to the starting block. And I think just in the spirit of this call about everybody can and volunteerism, it was a perfect example of even volunteerism at a very young age. Here was Lucy Piper, who I will always remember, that took care of me, that walked with me in a situation that actually where I was quite nervous. And anyway, I think that's probably one of the memories that stands out as very significant in my life.
And where was that? Why?
That was in Bellevue. So I'm a Northwest native, grew up at that Y. My siblings all worked at the Y in high school. And it's actually where I started my Y career. I spent the first 11 years of my Y career at my home Y in Bellevue.
Well, let's get back to your friend. How did you do when she led you to the starting block? How did you do in that?
You know, what's funny. I don't remember anything other than that piece, which again, I'm just going to circle back to the concept here about volunteerism and how powerful that is. I also think about volunteerism as, you know, big V volunteerism, which is where you have a job and there's a job description for what you do. And there's little V volunteerism, which is where you're there for somebody. And I think the whole continuum of volunteerism is really powerful. I have no idea how I did in that swim meet, but I will always remember Lucy Piper.
Talk a little bit about your educational background and your professional journey through the YMCA system. How did you get to be chief executive officer?
Well, we have a short period of time on this show, so I'll give you the abridged version. So actually, I had been going to the University of Washington. I was a kinesiology major there, and this was in the mid-80s, and my department, UW, was going through a financial crisis. My department was eliminated, so I had to figure out what I was going to do. And the next closest place was UCLA. So I went from a pretty sheltered life in Bellevue, Washington, to the big city of Los Angeles, and graduated with a degree, a Bachelor of Science in Kinesiology from UCLA. But LA was not my thing. I couldn't wait to come home. And so When I came back home, I reached out to the executive director at the Bellevue Y, who happened to be the person who taught me how to swim when I was 6 years old. And I asked him if it was okay if I took a job at the Y while I was looking for a real job. I don't know who I thought ran the Y, but I didn't think that was an option for me. But boy, just starting to work for the Y, it stuck. And what I've loved about the Y is you get this huge variety of things that you have the opportunity to do. And I worked my way up the career ladder at the Bellevue Y, became the associate executive there, and then got an opportunity to go to Snohomish County to be the branch executive in Marysville, Washington, which I loved that community, did some really amazing work there, and then also had the opportunity to work with YUSA around a new initiative they were focusing on in terms of addressing the nation's health. So the Y has been really focused on helping people be healthy since its inception way back when in 1844. But, starting in the 70s, really, if you look at the health trajectory of our country, we're really on a pretty significant decline. And so YUSA was looking at how might we really help people who need extra support to be active, who need extra support to prevent the onset of chronic conditions. And so I was able to actually use my education and apply kind of some of the principles around exercise science and principles around behavior change to work on things like the YMCA's diabetes prevention program, which was disseminated at WISE all across the country in partnership with the CDC. Fast forward, I had an opportunity to go back and work for the YMCA of Greater Seattle. I was the senior vice president and chief membership and health officer there, again, really focusing on some of the work around chronic disease prevention and disease management at a bigger scale. I was there for 9 years and then just had this incredible opportunity to come here, was hired in an interim capacity on February 3rd, stuck in my brain of 2020, which was a really interesting time to join the Y in the Olympic Peninsula.
Oh, yeah.
And, because 6 weeks later, we were under a mandate to close our facilities and we shifted to emergency childcare and things like that. So very interesting timing.
Let's talk a little bit about what you do here in Jefferson County. What kind of programs do you offer? Who's your target audience?
Yeah. So one of the things about the Y is we actually take the shape of our local community's needs. And so each Y, and we've got three Ys in the Olympic Peninsula. We've got Port Angeles, Guam, and here in Jefferson County. And each Y looks a little bit different because the needs are different in each community. And so here in Jefferson County, a lot of what we focused on is youth and family programs. So people might know us most for our programs in terms of childcare and summer camp, but we have also responded in what I would say are more social service programs. So for example, we have a Building Futures program, which is a mentoring program, a school-based mentoring program to support kids in elementary and middle school. We also do a meals program. So that was something that just became a huge need that sort of was illuminated out of COVID. We'd been doing a summer meals program prior to 2020, but we were doing about 3,000, 4,000 meals over the course of the summer. This last summer, we did 30,000 meals.
So up from 4,000? Wow.
To 30,000 meals. And so we really saw a significant gap in terms of people who are experiencing food insecurity. And you might be surprised, in Jefferson County, about a third of kids in Jefferson County are food insecure, meaning they don't necessarily know where their next meal is going to come from. And so we just upped our game and partnered with a lot of people and did a lot of driving because it was important for us to make sure we were delivering food to people. I think the people who have the least access to food are the least likely to be able to make it to a pickup site or to a food bank.
So growing from 4,000 to 30,000, did you employ a volunteer team to collect food, prepare food, and deliver food?
All of the above. And I would say that's one area where we still are constantly looking for volunteers. We're just about to wrap up this summer, but if there are people who are interested in helping us, we will throughout the school year be supporting kids during non-school times. So the holiday break in December, spring break for sure. We also like to help support all of the weekend groups. There's several groups throughout Jefferson County that focus on weekend backpacks, but where we can help and supplement and also continue to do the food delivery, we will. So that's a huge opportunity to volunteer for the Y and really in significant service to the community.
Well, so, that's great to hear. And I know that when we close up our conversation, you'll give us a phone number and a website. So listeners, please get your pens and pencils ready. And Wendy will give you that information as we close out the conversation. Aside from really having to really increase your capacity in food preparation and food delivery, how else have you had to adjust given the pandemic and governor restrictions and mask mandates?
Yeah, I think one thing that we've done, again, for us, it was a lot of looking at what are community needs and where are their gaps and how can we help. So one thing that we did is, and this was definitely a grassroots effort in the community where there was a significant gap identified in terms of helping to connect families to the myriad of resources available in Jefferson County. So we actually hired a family resource navigator. Her name is Tanya Barnett, amazing, beautiful human being whose role is to help families who maybe for the first time ever really experiencing some challenges and they just don't know where to turn. And Tanya's role is to help families get connected to other nonprofit organizations, other resources like OLECAP or Dove House or food banks or New Image. There's just so many wonderful resources in our community, but her job is to help those families get connected with what is available in this community. And then we're also working with all of those community-based organizations to figure out, are there dots we could connect here where we could better leverage what we have collectively in support of the community? And we're also finding, you know, one of the beautiful things that came out of COVID was the safety net was expanded, but there are still people falling through the cracks. And so what are some gaps we have in our community and how do we mitigate those gaps or how do we better work together to really, you know, provide wraparound support to families? So that's one other thing that has been a change for us since COVID. That role is just, I think, meeting a really phenomenal need and continues to grow in service of the community. So other than the, our childcare and summer camp programs where, yes, we've had to deal with masks and at the same time trying to make sure that kids can still have experiences where they can be kids and have fun and play and all the things that they deserve. You know, that's just kind of an example of the things that we've been doing. But yeah, it's been I couldn't write this story quite this creatively. I've said that quite often.
It's lovely to hear about Tanya's work with you and as the family navigator. I know Tanya quite well. My day job is WSU Extension, and nice. Tanya used to work with us as a 4-H coordinator, so we're quite familiar with Tanya's great work. We do have a lot of seniors in town. What are some of the programs that seniors are most involved in?
Yeah, so I would say right now we've got a couple of things that we do, and one is a pickleball. There's quite the pickleball movement in Jefferson County, and beginning in October, we will open up our gym again to access for anyone who, one, wants to learn how to play pickleball, or two, for those people who've spent all summer outside. And then we also support women's basketball. The Drizzle basketball team comes and uses the gym. But I would say that's one area where we're continuing to look at how do we grow? How do we do more in service of all ages? And perhaps based on my bias, how do we do more and more in service of people who are really trying to focus on their health? So there's some evidence-based interventions that we're focusing on adding, one around blood pressure self-monitoring, two is a cancer survivorship program in partnership with the Livestrong Foundation called Livestrong at the Y. We'll be looking at other things. We've been talking with Dr. Molly Parker at Jefferson Healthcare. What are some other ways where we can help on a community-based side of things support people's health? Actually, the research shows that someone's health, only 10% is impacted by what happens in a clinical setting, is 90% is everything else. And so, you know, how can we support people in the community to be healthier and live longer lives?
Before we run out of time, I just want to check in with you on the pool. We understand that the Y is going to be taking over the pool. Talk about the hours, programs, cost.
Yeah, of course, we're still in conversation with the city in terms of what our agreement will look like. But the goal is we will return to as normal hours as possible, and very similar schedule and very similar structure to what was available to residents prior to this transition. One of the things that we've agreed to is we'll keep the fee structure, the pass structure the same, but we will add an option for people to become members of the Y if they would like to. And what that does, it opens up access to not just our branches in Sequim and Port Angeles, but it actually opens up access to Ys all across the country. Wherever you go, pretty much there's a Y. And so we wanted to make sure that would be an option available for people as well. More to follow on that, but we are really excited to be partnering with the city. Of course, pools are in our wheelhouse. I can say that from personal experience, but also really wise, have operated pools since the early 1900s. We were the first organized swimming lesson provider in the country, and it's going to be a great opportunity for us. So
yeah, that sounds very exciting. So Wendy, we're almost out of time. How can listeners reach you and the Y? What's the phone number? What's the website?
Sure. The phone number for the Jefferson County Y is 360-385-5811. And email also works. Our email address is info@olympicpeninsulaymca.org.
That's terrific, Wendy. Thank you very much for your time today. We really appreciate you spending a little bit of time with KPTZ listeners. I'm sure you're going to get a lot of, a lot of contact from folks out there that are listening and very excited about pickleball coming up in October in the gym and access to the pool. It's terrific information to know that our listeners can join the Y here and then have access to YMCAs all around the country. What a great service that will be. Is there anything in closing you'd like to share with our listeners?
Oh, just what an amazing community. I'm so honored to be here and to be in this role. And if there are things that people think about that you wish the YMCA were doing, also, you can reach out to me at Wendy@OlympicPeninsulaYMCA.org. I'd love to hear from people. So thank you so much for the privilege of being here today.
All right, Wendy, thank you so much for your time. And for our KPTZ listeners, this has been Cliff Moore sitting in for Missy Nielsen. And today's guest is Wendy Bart, Chief Executive Officer of the Olympic Peninsula YMCA. Wendy, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. You're ready.